This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Dr. Robert Jones, who's the chancellor of the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. Dr. Jones previously served as senior vice president at the University of Minnesota and as president of the University at Albany of the State University of New York SUNY system. He's an experienced and accomplished scientist in the areas of crop sciences. He is the first African-American scholar to serve as chancellor at the University of Illinois. He talked about his ties to Chicago, the fact that his mom was born in Chicago at Cook County Hospital in 1926, and his wife served her residency at Cook County Hospital. She is a very distinguished radiologist. The emphasis of Chancellor Jones's remarks were how the power of education can transform lives and communities. He talked about the flagship university that he heads up, Land-Grant and Research University, about 217 miles from the city of Chicago, Champaign-Urbana. Dr. Jones said that Chicago has the greatest concentration of University of Illinois graduates in the world, 200,000 Illinois alumni in the area. He talked about the impact of research upon everyday lives, such as the development of integrated circuitry at the University of Illinois, flat-screen TVs, YouTube, PayPal, the relationship to Tesla, and the development of MRI systems. Over time, 24 faculty at the University of Illinois have received Nobel Prizes. The University of Illinois currently is where medicine and engineering meet, the research and the practical. He talked about the extension program that people know very little about. 23,000 people in the state of Illinois were served in 2018, 300 different program sites. The College of Veterinary Medicine has been involved in Chicago for more than two decades, looking in on the animals at Lincoln Park Zoo and the Brookfield Zoo. The School of Social Work has established a new downtown campus. The law school is now linked with John Marshall as of July, a new engineering college funded by the Granger Company. He talked about the first Illini Fest ever held in Chicago, where more than 5,000 people gathered this summer, a lot of orange and a lot of blue. The emphasis in the future, Dr. Jones said, will be on increased public-private partnerships, working with other universities and private companies to expand basic research into new forms of knowledge. The University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana is involved with the University of Chicago, the Fermi Lab, and the Argonne Labs in new programs that will lead to the development of more quantum computers and mechanics that will improve the economic vitality of Chicago and the state of Illinois. He says the U of I is the largest provider of affordable education to Illinois residents. The class of 2019, starting within a week or two, 7,673 freshmen are expected. 5,058 will be Illinois residents. 75% of that number comes from the Chicago metropolitan area. 1 in 5 of the freshman students will be first-generation college students. He finished up by saying, "We admit students to the University of Illinois as a pathway to success. The 4-year graduation rate, 71.1% graduate in 4 years."
Let me start by first of all saying good afternoon to everyone. And of course, I can't help myself. ILL. Thank you. Let me start by first of all making sure that I take just a moment, if you will, to introduce some of the people that has made it possible for me to be standing here as the 10th chancellor of what I believe to be one of the greatest universities, not only in the country, but one of the greatest universities in the world. And I want to start with, some of these folks have been already been introduced, but I would be remiss if I didn't take time to recognize the presence of the members of our board of trustees of the University of Illinois, both past and present. If you could just stand just a moment to be recognized, I certainly would appreciate it. And then, of course, the man who I had the great pleasure to work with for now Tim, this has been almost 7 years. Both the time that we spent at Albany, New York together, and I think he's starting his fifth year here as the president of the University of Illinois system. Dr. Tim Colleen and his entire team, or large number of his team, like Barb Wilson and others, Avijit, I know they're all here today. And so would you all please stand for just a moment, please? And, of course, money and fundraising is an important part of what we do. So I would be remiss if I didn't ask Jim Moore and our entire University of Illinois Foundation and the board members that are here today. Jim, would you and the board members please stand and be recognized as well? And, of course, the group of folks that helped me achieve whatever I've been able to achieve in these short 3 years. The members of my leadership team, all of those that reside at Urbana-Champaign or here in Illinois that contribute to the advancing of this great university, would you please stand as well? Thank you all for taking time out to be here. And let me start by saying it's truly a great pleasure to speak here at the City Club of Chicago today. It is a tremendous honor to be invited to the oldest, and I must say the most distinguished civic forum in the city of Chicago. And so thank you for this great opportunity. But I also would be remiss if I didn't kind of give you a bit of a side note here. The city of Chicago is a very, very special place to me, primarily for a couple of three reasons or so. The connection that this city has had to two of the most important women that have been a part of my life across the last 60-some-odd years. And that is my mother, Mammy Beatrice Jones, who was born here in 1926. And she often talked very fondly, particularly when we were harvesting crops and there's a sharecropper situation in southwestern Georgia. I think those were the times when she longed for the city of Chicago. And then the other person is my much, much better half, my wife, who was mentioned in the introductory comments, Dr. Lynn Hassan Jones, who did her residency here at Cook County Hospital a few decades ago. So in many ways, I feel like I'm kind of home. I feel like I belong in this state, and I certainly feel that I belong here in this great city. I'm very pleased to know that the mission of the City Club is to provide a venue for the discussion and for the debate of some of the most important civic matters to the city, things that matter to the state, and things that matter to the region. And I cannot think of many issues that are of greater importance to our society than our progress and our ongoing commitment in using the power of education to transform lives and to transform communities. And Father Ryan spoke about that in his prayer and his comments. For nearly 3 years now, I have had the great privilege of serving as the 10th Chancellor of University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And it's always exciting anytime I have the opportunity to come before a group, particularly a group as distinguished as yourselves, and to talk a bit about the future of your flagship research land-grant university. And I can't emphasize that enough, your land-grant flagship research university. And fortunately for me, talking about the University of Illinois is something that I enjoy because it's a relatively easy thing to do because from my perspective, it truly represents excellence at a massive scale. And I think that there's no place, no better place to talk about the University of Illinois and the state's premier research and land-grant university than right here in the heart of the third largest city in America and with the greatest concentration of Illinois graduates on the earth. We take great pride that within 50 to 60 miles of where we are today, you will find nearly 200,000 Illinois alums. And that is something that we're extremely proud of. So you can see we have an inextricable link between the flagship campus and Urbana-Champaign, or Champaign-Urbana, depending on, you know, which one you prefer, and this great city of Chicago. And there's always been a very special connection between Chicago and our university. And I want to assure you right here, right now, that I am absolutely committed to making that connection even closer and stronger in the months and the years ahead. In fact, just to show you that we're serious about this, I think some of you know Andrea Darlis, formerly of WGN, who we personally and aggressively recruited to assure that we take our commitment to be more strategically present here in this great city. Getting to know and providing opportunity to work with each and every one of you is the primary reason we added her to our team. So in case you don't know her, you can't miss her in the bright orange dress, but stand anyway, Andrea. So in the short time that I have today, so let me start with one of the things that I hope you will remember from my comments this afternoon, that today is one of the many of the public declarations of our renewed, sustained, and commitment for a much more viable presence of one of the greatest universities in the world here in one of the greatest cities on the planet. And I certainly hope that if you don't like blue and orange, you will grow to appreciate it, because you're going to see a lot more blue and orange and the block eye in this great city than you've ever seen before in the months and in the years ahead. So let's embrace that notion. And I want to be clear, this is not just for show. We are busy people. We've got a big university to run. And our desire to be more physically and visibly present here is not about show. It's not about bragging rights. It's more critical to what we believe. And that is the impact of our strategies, our increased presence, will be a major catalyst that drives the social, economic, and educational development of Chicago, our state, our entire region, and the country for decades to come. We believe that this is the embodiment of what we talk about, and President Killeen and I have had this conversation multiple times. Our strategic planning process is framed around the notion that we're at a critical juncture where we must redefine the land grant mission for the 21st century. And I can tell you that redefinition involves having more strategic and high impact presence here in this great city. And I realize that that's a pretty bold statement to make, especially coming from a chancellor of a university that is physically located more than 100 miles to the south of here. But I think all it takes is a look at our 151 years of history, and it becomes clear that the University of Illinois has been following up on bold promises by redefining the word impossible and by delivering world-shaking and world-shaping discoveries. The list is long, much too long for me to catalog here, but I think you can relate to a few of the followings. The integrated circuit, flat screens, the modern internet browser, and really the internet as we know it today. YouTube, PayPal, and Tesla. Tesla would just be another gas guzzler if it weren't for the innovation for the battery system that makes it all work. And MRI technology. This is my wife's favorite, that has revolutionized diagnostic medical imaging. And of course, our latest invention, or our latest innovation, developing the first college of medicine in the nation, in fact, the first college in the world, created at the intersection of medicine and engineering. Your university, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, is absolutely committed through this one big idea to change how medicine is taught and how medicine is practiced, not only here, but around the world. These are just a few of the innovations that have evolved from our faculty and our staff and our students and our alums. And I haven't mentioned the 24 Nobel laureates that have an affiliation with our great university, nor the numerous Pulitzer Prize winners, Guggenheim winners, and many, many others. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing to think about, and I ask you to kind of take a little journey with me just for a moment. Just try to imagine what the world would be like without the University of Illinois and its inventions and discoveries that we brought to the table. And another way of putting it, and this is a description that I often use, no matter wherever you are in this ever-changing world, you literally cannot go more than a day and not engage with, benefit from, and enjoy innovations and inventions that came from that university between the bean and the cornfields in Urbana-Champaign. Literally, you can't go more than a day. And folks, that's not bragging. It's an absolute fact. And I can guarantee you, if you go one day, you wouldn't want to go that second day. So you certainly hope, what I'm trying to say is that Illinois is a place for big ideas and innovations. But notwithstanding that, I think one of the biggest challenges we face to make sure that we keep the excellence that we've had for the last 151 years is one of geography. That is one of our biggest issues. As a state's flagship university and as a public land-grant university, we have an obligation, a unique obligation, I might add, to serve all of the citizens of Illinois. That means we need to find ways to engage with the population of the state in areas where that population is concentrated. Because as Bruce Katz of the Brookings Institution stated a few decades ago, he predicted that we would be living in an urban age. And folks, we certainly are. All the indicators are that we are living in an urban age. And so land-grant universities like ours must find a way to have more strategic and high-impact presence in urban areas. And that is at the core of what the land-grant university of the 21st century must look like. So to put it simply, we need a more strategic, more high-impact presence in Chicago as we remain anchored and committed to where we are place-based in Urbana-Champaign and strengthen, at the same time, strengthen our commitment to communities across the entire state. So now, to be clear, we're not new here in Chicago. Our faculty and staff and students have been actively engaged here across every college and every research and academic support unit. And just like to remind you of a few of those historic as well as some of those new ways that we've been engaged. Illinois Extension Program are found virtually in every neighborhood and city in Chicagoland area. And last year alone, we served nearly 23,000 people across 300 different program sites. Our College of Veterinary Medicine has been operating the Zoological Pathology Program in Chicago for more than two decades. This program helps to keep the animals of the Brookfield Zoo, the Shedd Aquarium, and the Lincoln Park Zoo healthy while providing new insights into diseases that could threaten entire species. Our School of Social Work just began offering a master's degree program in downtown Chicago that makes it easier for Chicago residents to earn a degree. This will create a large pool of desperately needed expertise to serve those in this city. Our law school, Chicago program, offers semester-long Chicago-based courses in event for third-year law students. These courses are taught by leading area practitioners and faculty and give our students a chance to network with the Chicago area alumni. And, of course, most recently, our Granger Engineering College and Granger City Scholars Program lets our students spend a semester interning with companies in the city while continuing to take classes. This is an effort that is designed to enhance the quality of the undergraduate experience of our engineering students, while at the same time being a new pipeline to supply Illinois talent to Chicago companies. And also, on at least two occasions a year, I think most of you are aware, that we find an excuse to kind of take over the city for big public celebration. Each fall, our Illini Day celebration sees us sponsoring special public receptions and events all over the city. And this year, you will find us up here for our annual Illinois luncheon at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel on Friday, November 22nd. So please mark your calendar. But more than that, we've decided that one of the things our great university has not done well. You've heard me say more than once, it's an amazing university at a massive scale. But we've been amazingly Midwest modest as well. We have an amazing story to tell, but we haven't found the compelling reasons to tell it. But that has fundamentally changed. It's changed with the hiring of our first branding and marketing officer. Eric Miner is in the audience, so Eric, wave. And over the past 3 years, every time I've had a chance to speak in this community, I reminded people that our branding and marketing budget over time has been absolute zero. And you get what you pay for, I'm sorry, in terms of the brand recognition and the name recognition that this great university deserves. And so, about a month ago or so, Eric came up with the great idea and involved all different parts of the university to create this big idea called the Illini Fest that was downtown in Millennium Park, and it created a unique orange and blue addition to the Chicago Summer Festival calendar. And by all counts, folks, this was an amazing success. I think it was one of the most critical outreach and engagement activities we've embarked upon. Eric and I were a bit nervous. We were hoping to get 1,500 people there. The morning before the event, as the skies were getting dark with clouds and it was raining cats and small dogs, he texted me or called, I can't remember exactly, but I got the word that we had over 10,000 unduplicated RSVPs to attend that event in Millennium Park. Now, we don't want to, exaggerate. I don't think 10,000 people showed up. But Eric and I are willing to bet his next paycheck that 5,000 people showed up for that event. And folks, it was one of the most successful things that we've done. And you can look forward to being an annual celebration of excellence and just really acknowledgement of all of the alums that we have in this great city, the impact that you're having each and every day on the quality of life and all of our collective desire to move this city to the next level of excellence. So you can look forward to that happening again each and every year. So let me move on here. We're going to find ways to be even more visible and physically and strategically present and thoughtful and very powerful ways. And this essentially requires us to think differently about who we partner and how we partner. I think President Clean would agree. Public-private partnerships, kind of the hallmark of the future of great universities and great university systems. And this is really at the heart of the new Discovery Partners Institute, or DPI, and the Illinois Innovation Network, or IIN. These initiatives that President Killeen has been driving for the past 3 years will bring together the excellence that's represented by the University of Illinois system, its three campuses, as well as other universities, public and private, across the state of Illinois, and in fact, across the world. They will be working to translate basic research into new knowledge and into innovations in discovery and development of the tools that will spur economic development and make the lives better for all of us in this vital community. Folks, I'm so excited about this, and you've heard me say more than once, this is a game-changing new model, a public-private partnership to spur the development of innovation and economic vitality. And I'm very, very pleased at the critical role, the catalytic, and the anchor role that my University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, plays and will play in making this big idea come to fruition. Our growing partnership with the University of Chicago is another example of how Urbana-Champaign is absolutely committed to a new way of collaborating. This is a research partnership between a very known, established private university and a very highly regarded, well-known, high-impact land-grant university. It is a research partnership around analytics and advanced materials and sciences to create collaborative research opportunities for our faculty and our staff and our students. But it's also more than that. It's a critical component of our public engagement efforts, our efforts to work collectively to reinvigorate and rejuvenate neighborhoods that are around the south side of Chicago that are in significant decline. And I want to make one more introduction, because this person, in addition to Bob Zimmer, is absolutely critical in making that public engagement piece of that partnership work. And that is Vice President for Public Engagement, Derek Douglas. I know he and his team are here somewhere. Derek. And Derek is partnering and working closely with Dr. Wanda Ward in my office to make sure that we create a new framework for engagement. For far too long, public universities have operated from the expertise framework, that we're from the university, we have all the knowledge, and we come to the community to solve your problems. Folks, that really didn't work that well over time. And we're creating a new model that Derek has already put in place, where they've gone to the community and they've asked fundamental questions from the community. What do you need from the university? And they've come up with four pillars that I'm extremely excited about. One is around youth entrepreneurship. The second, business diversity, targeted at providing more opportunity for women and minorities. K-12 education that will help strengthen our relationship with Chicago Public Schools, the Chicago Community College system, around the issue of teacher preparation. Because we all know fundamentally, unless you address that fundamental issue, preparing more teachers to teach in diverse classrooms, a lot of these other big ideas and economic vitality won't come to fruition. If we're leaving a whole segment of our young people behind who don't have the basic skills of reading by third grade and math by fourth grade, we know what institution you will end up in, and it's not the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, it's not Chicago, it's not any of the great institutions that have found across this city, across the state, and across the nation. So we are absolutely committed to public engagement, as we are committed to leveraging our expertise to create innovation through technology. And let me just mention the other part of a partnership with Chicago that's also important. Our goal is to really to ignite a technological and economic revolution right here in the city of Chicago. And one of the prime examples I want you to pay attention to in this regard is the Chicago Quantum Exchange, which is a partnership between our university and the University of Chicago, the Argonne, and the Fermi National Laboratories. This is such a big and compelling idea. I think most of you know that recently the state of Illinois capital bill included $100 million appropriation, $100 million to the University of Illinois, as well as $100 million to the University of Chicago, to ensure that this city becomes the center of gravity for in the emerging fields of quantum information and quantum technology. And from an innovation and economic vitality perspective, I am told by the folks that know more about this than I do that the entity that wins this great challenge is the one that will help determine economic vitality of that country and that region for decades to come. It will take a couple of, don't think that we're going to have quantum computers by the end of this decade. Probably won't happen. But in 10 to 20 years, we will start to see the benefit of this great innovative idea. And so Derek would tell you, I'm very fond of always saying that this partnership with Chicago is going to cover everything from quantum to community. And I hope that gives you some perspective of the breadth and the depth of our commitment. These disciplines, as I said, are going to revolutionize computing and security and sensors, and they will usher in a new kind of economy. And this alliance of some of the leading researchers in the world is going to help make sure that that sector is created and maintained and nurtured right here in Chicago. So today, I've talked mainly about how we are going to be more visible and more present and more active here in Chicago, but I also want to talk just a bit before I take my seat about our research and engagements effort underway and a bit more about what is the most important and the most visible way that we are trying to sustain the impact that we have on the state here in Chicago. And that is through the transformational educational experience that we offer our students down in Urbana-Champaign. We provide world-class educational opportunities on a massive scale. And I will remind you, we're among the largest producers of new undergraduate degrees in the nation. You will be hard-pressed to find another public university that produces more new undergraduate degrees than the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And I also remind you that we are the largest provider of affordable and accessible undergraduate education to Illinois residents. We are the largest educator of undergraduate students in the state, and we deliver that world-class education at an affordable price. So as I'm speaking here today, the streets back on campus are flooded with cars and trucks and vans and families of our new first-year students who are moving into Residence Hall this week. The final numbers aren't in yet, but I think the class will be close to, if not another record in size. We're expecting more than 7,673 new freshmen, with more than 5,458 of them being Illinois residents. And I remind you, about 75% of those Illinois students hail from Chicagoland. They call this area their home. More than one in five will be first generation or first students in that family to attend college. And we're expecting, again, to be among, have one of the largest diverse classes in our history, with about 20% of our students coming from so-called underrepresented minorities communities. So we are proud that we remain the door of opportunity for so many of students in this state, and we are just as proud of our efforts to ensure that an Illinois education is accessible and affordable, which is also one of the things that we have really stressed in the time that I've been here. We will invest more than $100 million in financial aid this year, and we are more than 77% of our way to raising our $2.25 billion with Illinois campaign. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask Barry Benson to just wave a bit at you folks. I thought I saw him over there somewhere. This is the most ambitious campaign in the history of the university. And we're only 2 years, right, into it, Barry? 77% of our goal we've already reached. That speaks of commitment, that speaks of respect, and speaks of hopefully the excitement about the momentum that we garnered to moving this university forward. But I also remind you that we have a strong commitment again to providing access through our Illinois Promise Program that provides full tuition and room and board for admitted Illinois students with family income below the poverty line. And I certainly hope you all remember that about a year ago, we announced something called the Illinois Commitment, which is a scholarship program that guarantees 4 years of free tuition and fees to any admitted Illinois resident with a family from a family income of $61,000 or less. Folks, that's a big commitment. We did that because we were very clear that there were students who were qualified to be admitted to Illinois, but because of sticker price, optics about cost, and the notion that somehow, why should I apply to Illinois when if I get in, I can't afford to go? And so we wanted to remove the sticker price from their thinking. We want them to work hard, prepare themselves, and they too can have an Illinois education. We also recognize that so-called medium-income families, and doesn't mean what it did a few decades ago, because we fundamentally understand if you have more than one child in college, then you too have the same financial struggles as those making $61,000 or less. And so we're leveraging the AIM High program and our own resources to try to admit as many middle-income students as we can and provide them financial assistance to be successful. I remind you that we just don't admit students to the university, we admit them to success. Our students graduate at a rate that's nearly 25% above the national average. To those of you in higher education, I certainly hope you didn't miss the headline in the Chronicle of Higher Education yesterday, that our graduation rate is among one of the top in our peer group in the country at 71.1%. You know, I tell my staff, don't talk to me much about 6-year graduation rate. Those are important. But it's the 4-year one that allows us to deliver a world-class education at an affordable price. And those graduates who leave with debt, they leave with debt that is significantly below the national average. And we know that there's a lot of discussion about this issue in our country at this moment. I think it's really important to emphasize that more than half of our students graduated. Now, some of you are not going to believe this. More than half of our students graduate with zero debt. Zero debt. And on average, most of our students that have debt, they graduate with about $22,000 in debt, which is, again, below the national average. So we understand that student debt is a significant issue that really makes it difficult for far too many of our families to get access to an education, and we are working hard to keep educational accessible and affordable. But when we talk about cost of an Illinois degree, I also believe we must talk about value. What is the return on the investment for an Illinois education? And I don't know how many of you saw Money Magazine announcement a couple of days ago. It's been a good week in these polls and announcement for Illinois. That, again, we rank in the top 20 in the nation regarding institutions that deliver amazing education at affordable price. And so, again, we are in the top 20, and we're very, very proud of that fact. And so we are very, very proud of what we've been able to do, and the value proposition is very important to us. And in May of 2018, we awarded 8,000 undergraduate degrees, and 91% of those graduates told us that they had found their first job or their first destination within 6 months of graduating, with an average starting salary about $62,000, and this is about 19% above the national average. And with 65 or 70% of our new graduates remaining in Illinois to begin their career. So we're trying to do all we can to contribute to creating the workforce and driving economic development. And what this really shows us, that one of the most important tools to keep the best and the brightest students in the state apparently must be a University of Illinois degree. We believe that, and we will continue to work to make that happen. So let me conclude today by saying that we're standing on the sharp edge of a new era of global innovation and discoveries. Advances in health science, technology, and energy, information, and knowledge will certainly transform 21st century society in the same way that the digital revolution did in the 20th century. Chicago is one of the greatest cities in the world by any measure you choose. And it is rapidly and perceivably positioned itself to become the most important city of this century. Chicago has an unmatched physical, geographical infrastructure, and it boasts a very rapidly emerging and vibrant ecosystem of public-private investments and support. Chicago is the home to one of the most talented and most diverse and most adaptable workforces in the nation. And at the same time, information that is evolving now shows that it is that most powerful workforce on the planet clearly can be developed here. And that is all going to be driven by knowledge and education that comes from being a very diverse and international community. So when it comes to translating knowledge, information into knowledge, into impact and opportunity, I challenge you to show me a university in the world that's going to do so at a level of excellence and at the massive scale of the University of Illinois. So let me conclude my remarks by asking you to consider this question. What becomes possible when you connect the vast human and natural technological resources of Chicago to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, the most powerful engine of information and technology knowledge creation in the state? I believe the answer is very short and it's very simple. Anything and everything that we can imagine. So thank you for the invitation to be here today, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you, Chancellor Jones, and we have time for a few questions. If anybody has a question that they, I see some in the back, our staff will be by, pick them up. And I've got a few questions that I already have. This is from Martin Dionne, who's with the Quebec government office in Chicago. How do you see the University of Illinois in the global world? Is international partnership part of your strategy to expand the reach of UIUC? If so, which countries are a priority for the University of Illinois?
Thank you. Well, one of the things that wasn't mentioned in my introduction is I'm kind of an internationalist, and I have been throughout most of my career, having the great pleasure to work not only in Morocco but in South Africa. And so one of the things that is core to our strategic plan going forward is the internationalization of the university. We are already very highly regarded, and there are going to be some data released in a few days that shows how internationalized this great university is. We are very, very proud to have the largest population of Chinese students in most any public university in this country, and that we have a nice mixture of international students from around the world. And clearly, that international student representation on our campus, added to the 73-74% of our students that are residents of the state of Illinois, adds to that richness of the educational experience that we provide that most people expect from a world-class university. So part of our goal is how do you deepen that commitment? And we have what we call micro-campuses that we operate with Zhejiang University and our engineering program. We're looking at deepening our relationship in South and Central America through some strategic opportunities we have. And some of you are probably aware that one of the things that has become crystal clear, that Africa, the continent that most people have kind of ignored over the decades, is emerging as the one place where all universities need to think differently about the breadth and depth of their relationships, and we plan on pursuing those opportunities.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chancellor. We have a lot of good questions here. We'll try to get to as many as we can. This is from Rod Height. Rod, where are you? Somewhere back there. Okay. Okay, over there. He's with Arius Information Solutions. Could you describe the relationship between the U of I in Champaign and UIC in Chicago? And you might want to also mention UI in Springfield.
Well, as I said earlier, we are part of the University of Illinois system. We are the three universities that constitute that system, with the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign being the original institution that was founded in 1867, and the system, I think, was put in place in like 1967. So we're the three constituent universities that make up the University of Illinois system. And we, chancellors, each campus has a chancellor that effectively is the chief executive officer of that campus, and we have responsibility for driving the strategic vision, day-to-day decisions about the universities that we oversee. We work very closely together on a number of different issues, and we work closely as a leadership team and as Vice President and President Colleen's system administration function. So we're all campuses of the University of Illinois system.
Okay, thank you. This is from one of my wife's Facebook buddies, Gene Reinecke with the Hawthorne Strategy Group. Gene, where are you?
Right here.
Okay, right down there. Great. Can you give us an update on the Discovery Park Institute in terms of fundraising, corporate interest, and continuing political support? Ah, multiple choice question.
I'm going to do what my boss does to me. I should pass it on to Tim Colleen, but Tim, I think I can do it justice. The Discovery Partners Institute is this big idea that we talked about earlier. And I think, you know, one of the commitments, or at least at one time that was put into place, that had to be a matching strategy for the $500 million that Tim and his team worked diligently to get appropriated twice and supported by the legislature. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but I know we're approaching almost being at parity in terms of the outside support, the outside support that we need to match that contribution. And again, that signifies, and these contributions are coming from multiple places, from folks here in this great city, from the partnership that Tim and his team have tried to build all the way from Israel to India, and locally here as well. I think every public university in the state is a part of this framework now, as well as every most of the private university here in Chicago and other points in between. I think we're having a big event in a few weeks for University of London, I believe, and a couple of other places. So it's all coming together in terms of the big strategic vision and the financial model to make it all work. So we're very excited.
Thank you, Chancellor. Don't go away. Oh, would you like some water, by the way?
Thank you.
I knew we had something.
Well, I thought that was yours.
No, that's yours. Okay, so you spoke for about 40 minutes without mentioning athletics, so we have a couple questions. You knew that would be coming up.
I can go 60.
Okay. Yeah, my president will give me the hook. Okay, this is from Kevin Furr, U of I civil engineering graduate, 1996, with Hanson Professional Services, and Larry Epley, former board chair of the Board of Trustees. So, Kevin and Larry, where are you two? One's back there. Whatever. And one's back there. Great. Bottom line, Epley wants to know how the football team is looking. But Kevin also asks, we have seen in 2005 and at the University of Alabama what success in athletics can do for overall university support and admissions. What is your vision for the role successful athletics can play in the overall success of the blue and orange?
Well, let me try to deal with the first question, I think, first. We're very excited about all of our athletic programs, and particularly, I know you may not be asking about, you maybe want to focus on football and basketball, so we'll cut to that chase. I say we're very, very excited. I am personally very, very excited about the recruitment, very, very excited about the hires that we've made over the last few months. And I encourage you to hop in the car, come down to visit us at 8 home games, and see for yourself the outcome of the investments and the talent that we've tried to bring to the table to make our basketball and football programs more successful. I think we have great and dynamic leadership in the coaches. I have significant confidence in Josh Whitman as a athletic director, and we're very excited about the future. But we need your support, and I know it's kind of hard to say, but we need your bit of your patience as well as we continue to try to move this forward. And everybody knows that athletics, a successful athletic program, solves a whole bunch of challenges. But I submit to you, we've got a pretty darn successful university with our current state of affairs, and I think I've laid a compelling case for you today about how important this university is and the impact that we're having in the world. Yes, we want winning programs in order to support the lives and the careers and to support our student athletes. That's what it's all about to me. That sets us apart. We have a very high graduation rate, more than some of those places that have winning records. Our student athletes graduate, folks. And my wife would hear, she beat up on you all day to remind you of that. They graduate at a very high rate, and we're very, very excited about the future.
Hey, thank you. You don't have to answer the question about Lovey's beard. Okay. This is from Dan Duster.
Lovey has a beard?
Yeah. Dan, where are you? Right back there. He'd like to know, what is the university doing to recruit and retain? You've talked about some of this, students of color, but also faculty and administrators of color and diversity.
Well, as I've said, the recruitment and the retention and the graduation of students from underrepresented groups is one of our top priorities, and we have to do that by making educational accessible and affordable. And there's also another little-known fact that you may or may not believe. It's hard to believe that, folks, we have one of the highest numbers of underrepresented students in the Big Ten. The highest percentage, one of the highest percentages among our peer group. And when you, again, when you look at the variable that counts at the end of the day, is not how many you recruit, it's how many you graduate. And, folks, we're at the top of that core group in terms of graduating underrepresented students. Very, very proud of it. And yes, recruiting top faculty and staff is a challenge, but we also are doing quite well in that regard. I would put us in the top one-third among our peer group in terms of the number of faculty and staff that we have for an underrepresented group that are populated across all of our core college. They're not all in they're in the liberal arts and sciences, but we have a large cohort in our business school and engineering and other parts of the university as well. It's an absolute commitment that we continue to work toward, so much so that we hired the university's first chief diversity officer in its history, engineer that I stole out of University of Minnesota, to come to Urbana-Champaign to lead this initiative, because he's had a very strong commitment when he was in graduate school at Buffalo, University of Buffalo, that he wanted to do what he could to get more underrepresented students into science and engineering. And he now will be leading our effort to really bring about greater impact in this regard as the inaugural Chief Diversity Officer of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign.
Thank you, Chancellor Jones. We'll just have time for one more question, and then we'll have our drawing and presentation to Chancellor Jones. President Killeen, Chancellor Emeritus up here at UIC, yourself, This is from a U of I graduate. She says, basically, her name is Stephanie Lise Emmerich. Stephanie, where are you? There you go. Okay. She says, you gentlemen and your staffs run million-billion-dollar organizations. Very busy. It's a personal question, Chancellor. What vitamins do you take, or which exercise regimen do you follow with your schedule? You can answer that any way you want.
Well, one of my routines on a daily basis is running from one meeting to the next. That'll give you a good workout. But it's a critically important question. And, I tell people, they say, you seem to be in pretty good shape. I say, yeah, I'm trying to survive this thing if I can. Because these are tough jobs. And President Killeen will tell you, leading a university has become one of the most complex and challenging jobs in this country. And to hear the former president of University of Texas System, I think it was, who was admiral, I'm blanking on his name now, Tim, when he was retiring about a year ago, they asked him, what did he think about being a president? He said, you know, I've commanded hundreds of thousands of troops all over the world. By far, this is the hardest damn job I've ever had in my life. And I use that to kind of paint a very clear picture that these are challenging jobs because these are challenging times in which we have to try to navigate these universities. Everybody is committed to moving their institution to the next level of excellence. Everyone is committed to trying to garner as much state support as they can to help finance that mission, concurrent with creating new budget models that allows you or push you in a position where you want to always have a commitment from the state for support, but at the same time, you've got to think about alternative revenue streams, philanthropy, other ways of generating the revenue that's necessary to accomplish the mission. So I try to work out when I can. I try to go on 55-mile back rides with Jim Moore, who's a terror. Don't ever go back riding with Jim Moore. He embarrassed a bunch of 20-some-year-olds in our Illini 4,000 last year when, you know, who's this old guy on his rather unique bike? And Jim was smoking them, leaving them by miles. And so I try to go bicycle riding with him when I can and try to work out a little and also try to eat appropriately, which I fail dismally at some days, but we try.
Okay. Thank you, Chancellor Jones.